Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. Or as always, head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts. We have countless hours of podcasts on that website and tons of great articles from great writers. You want to check those out over at AmericaOutLoud.com. We have a big show tonight that we're very excited for. We've got the return of Kimberly Fletcher from Moms for America. We had her on earlier this year, and she told us about her great organization, Moms for America, and what they were doing. She also told us about their presence at January 6th and what the real story was behind that. It was a great episode, and we are very much looking forward to speaking with Kimberly again. There's so much going on in this country right now. Particularly for parents, you see this rush to install critical race theory into so many of our school systems. Here we are, a start of a new school year. You know, a lot of these leftist teachers cannot wait to start teaching some critical race theory. And then you see what is also going on at the schools with these mask mandates. They are now pushing children that are 12 years or older to get vaccinated. It's just a lot going on out there for parents, and parents need to pay attention, get involved, and just not put their kids through all of this that the government is subjecting them to without a fight. It's very important parents push back at this point in time. Rob, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Andrew. Thank everyone that are joining us tonight for this really important topic. Show that we're going to have. As you said, we decided to bring back Kimberly Fletcher of Moms of America. There's so much that parents are having to deal with this school cycle, school term. First, we went a year not being able to go to school. Kids had to do remote learning, and then it turned into a hybrid form of learning with kids going to school some days, kids not going to school. And then there were all of these requirements, wear the mask, don't wear the mask. It was just a complete disaster, in my opinion. And on top of that, I think one of the things that was a blessing, if I could say, because God always gives us things, he doesn't put anything in front of us that we can't handle. And a lot of times when we're going through things, there's always a message or a reason behind it. And what many parents came to realize when they were homeschooling their kids or going through these hybrid lessons with the schools is that they were able to actually look at the curriculums that these schools had set up. Many of the schools told the parents, just sit your child in front of the computer or the laptop or what have you, and then walk away because we don't want any distractions. We don't want you there. Just leave us with the child. Thankfully, however, parents decided, let me just see what Johnny and Susie are learning. And when they sat in and heard some of the stuff that was being taught, they were shocked. Now, I'm sure that some parents came across this before the schools were shut down because of the China virus, but they didn't say anything. They thought nothing of it. But then, the past year, they were able to sit, understand, and to dissect. And then they started to talk to other parents and say, are you aware of this? You know, I had heard it, but this is actually happening. I recall some time ago reading in the papers how schools were putting kids into different little sections and saying these were the best kids and these kids were the bad kids, and how little white kids were going home saying we're bad because of what we did to Black people and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you think it's an anomaly, like, okay, it's just happening in that school. But then parents started to realize that they were the, quote, that school. It was happening in their schools. They became alarmed, and they started to speak up, going to the school boards, contacting the PTA, and saying, what are you doing? And you would think that the schools would have said, oh, no, that's just a one-time lesson. No. They were resolved in their commitment to teach this nonsense to our kids, that there are bad people, there are good people. And let's just call it the way it is and say it the way it is. White people are bad. Look at what they've done. Black people have been oppressed. they don't know any better. They can't do any better. So when they're acting out, you've got to give them a, like a little leeway because of everything that has happened to them. This is the stuff that is being taught to our kids. We want to uplift our kids, not bring them down. But kids were told, you're bad because of your color. Content of character, forget about it. We're looking at the color, something that we can all see. Horrible kids, young minds, at an early age being taught this, growing up, going through the school cycle, public schools, our taxpayer dollar funded schools, teaching this nonsense to our innocent children, our babies, future leaders. Can you imagine the long-term effects? Well, of course they knew what it would cause. They knew exactly what they were doing. Look at the teachers that are there now. So this just didn't start yesterday or during COVID. What did start is that people started waking up and started hearing what was happening because the teachers that are teaching it now, they were taught the nonsense way back when. So it was easy for them to get with the program and start to push it out. When you have school boards that are pushing to teach this, when you have PTA members that are saying, no, there's something that's wrong with you. We want our kids to learn about this. Well, you have school boards that are saying, we're going to get rid of the pronouns. And we need to make certain that we have bathrooms for all these different genders. Kids that are 5 and 6 years old, you're teaching them this stuff. And now, look at where we are. Look at our country. How can our kids get a good education when we're busy trying to create social experiments? Well, kids around the country, the world rather, they're learning math, science, writings, but not our kids. Our kids are being taught about masturbation. They're being taught that boys can have periods also. And you know what? He's a man, but he can also have a baby. And don't say mom or parents, just say birthing people. This is going on. And it's not only happening in our schools, but at the highest level of our government. Elections have consequences. And if you think that I'm just voting for this person because he's nice and not really looking into the nitty-gritty, then shame on you. Because the child that you have at home, you think that child has your values? Absolutely not. They're teaching that child something completely different. That is the reason why. They want to extend childcare. They want to extend kids going to school, daycares, so the kids can go to school as early as 2, pre-K for 2, so that they can start the indoctrination early on. And when your child comes home, you will be saying, what if this child get this? I never knew. It's because you took your eyes off your most prized possession. And you gave it to the government to raise. And the government was more than willing to take that child, take that young brain, take that sponge, and feed them all of the nonsense that we have today. We must wake up. We must be resolved in understanding that the government isn't our friend. The government will do what we allow them to do if we don't stand up. And it's supposed to be we, the people. The government is supposed to represent us. But when we look the other way and think that, well, we'll let those parents do it, I'm not going to participate, this is what happens. So I would encourage you all to get involved and to wake up. Because this isn't just around the corner. It has turned the curve. And it is up on us now. Kimberly, how are you tonight?
I am great. Aside from everything that you just mentioned, I have to say I have a lot of hope, and probably more hope than I've had in the 16 years since we've run this organization, because there is a mom-led revolution going on. And I thoroughly believe that when you poke Mama Bear this much, that things are going to turn around really quick.
So what I said, do you agree? Yes, there's hope. But what's happening, the way this has come into our society and the attacks on our children, do you not see that happening?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm hearing from moms across the country, and I can spend a lot longer than the time we have together telling you stories, but I'll just tell you a couple, because these moms, when they call us, They feel helpless and hopeless. Nobody's listening to them. They're showing up at the school board meetings en masse. And I'm not saying it isn't making a difference, because in many cases it is. And it's incredible. But in Tennessee, just a couple of weeks ago, we had over 2,000 parents, mostly moms, who showed up at a school board meeting. They were locked out, told they couldn't come in. And while they were outside chanting no mask mandate, inside the school board passed the mask mandate. So in other school districts, the parents are showing up by the hundreds. And in the school district where our children go to school, they backpedaled and they said, oh, we're not going to do it. And then the neighbors in the community who didn't even have children in the schools started saying, oh, until the those parents showed up and ruined everything. I mean, you know, this is the thing that really has me, I guess, pained and concerned for our country. It's not who's in the White House or any of the school boards or state houses. It's our own neighbors who have bought into the government god, who are fighting against us. And there was a political ad last year that came out, so perfectly describes where we're at. And it's this king, and he's standing up on this tower, and he has his aide beside him, and down below the tower are all the peasants with their pitchforks and shovels yelling and screaming. And the aide leans over to the king and he says, we don't have to fight them, we just have to convince the masked people that the unmasked people are trying to kill them. And that's exactly what they have done. They have pit us against each other.
They have, and people don't realize it. Like you said, our neighbors to neighbors that are fighting. I was watching some of the school board meetings, and neighbors that were going there, probably friends, but fighting now because of the agenda that these schools want to put in the school. And I don't understand it. I'm like, why are we something that has nothing to do with the basic learning of our kids, reading, math, arithmetic, science, and you're trying to introduce some social program? And for what? For 1% of the school that's going, you might have one kid whose parent wants to be woke, and then they've convinced all the other parents, well, my kid is like this, so you guys should accept my kid and you should do the same thing. And it's not that, because I want to be clear, it's not that we're saying that they should discriminate against that child, or that we should ostracize the child. But what we are saying is that we shouldn't change the entire curriculum. We should not change the blueprint of the school just for that one child, and then force that parent or that child's beliefs on everyone else. So with Moms of America, what do you guys do to get your message out there and to support parents and tell them that they can be empowered?
There's two major things that we do. The first part is we educate, because if you don't know what your rights are, where they come from, and how to effectively exercise them, then you can't be effective. You can't push change. You can't take a stand and have the people who are sitting in those seats listen to you. So we have our Cottage Meeting Project, which is our signature program. And we teach through mothers the principles of liberty and the Constitution in a way that instantly resonates with them. And then they get excited and empowered and impassioned, and they share that passion with their children. And so when people ask us, you know, what does your organization do to counter critical race theory? I'm like, well, we've been doing it for 16 years. It's called the Cottage Meeting Project. We take the real story of America and we put it in the hearts of mothers, who then put it in the hearts of their children. And I tell parents all the time, there is nothing going on outside the home that can't be healed, countered, or curtailed inside the home. So if we are planting those seeds, then our children will hold on to that. And then when they go out in the world, they'll have that foundation that to lean on, and those seeds will grow into a bountiful harvest, and they will love America. I don't believe the greatest generation is behind us. I believe it is before us. So that's why we focus all of our efforts on focusing on the home. But then we also empower moms and give them, once we teach them what their rights are, where they come from, God, not government, and how to effectively exercise them, then they want to exercise them when things like this come up. And so we give them opportunities to be effective and have their voice heard in a powerful way. So we have just a couple of moms who reached out to us. Well, we've been flooded, honestly, from moms in California, New York, Illinois, several of these states. I was just in Michigan this last week where moms are just up in arms and frustrated. And like I said, sometimes the school boards will listen and you know, bow to the parents, if you will. And other times they just stand against them. And I'm so fed up. And this is one of the things I hear. Just a couple of days ago, there two or three moms contacted us and said, why do they keep saying this is not a public meeting? This is a private meeting that we allow the public to participate in. And I'm like, because they're lying to you. They've been lied to. That's what the School Board Association teaches them to say. And they regurgitate. It's like talking points over and over and over again. May I remind you, that's baloney. We pay for them. We elect them. It is a public meeting and we are allowed to come and participate in it. And when they hide behind closed doors, that's because they don't want to face us. So there was a mom in Florida, the end of the school last year, her little 7-year-old boy was in PE running up and down the field. It's hot and sweaty in Florida. And the heat kind of got to him. He pulled the mask down below his nose so that he could breathe. The teacher yelled at him, made him put the mask over his mouth and nose, and then to punish him, made him run laps with that mask on. That is child abuse. And when those kind of things are going on across the country, when children are getting staph infection on their faces, their teeth are getting cavities, acne. In high school, the last thing you need is to have something else that you have to worry about. And when you're trying to, you know, fit in, so that they're developing acne, they're having breathing problems. I mean, all of the things that are going on, the parents are just fed up with it. The 14 days we were all willing to do that, it's turned into a year and a half of just crazy nonsense. And so as these parents have been flooding to us, from these various different states. And every time we go meet with them, they're literally in tears, hardly consolable because they don't know what to do. So I started to make some phone calls to several of my attorney friends. And I said, okay, do we have legal recourse? Because that's one of the things the moms kept asking. Can we file a lawsuit? Can we put them in jail? You know? And I'm like, I don't know. Let me find out. So I called some top lawyers and they said, well, some of them had, because they had filed lawsuits in various different states for things like this. And they said, well, we have little to no recourse. It costs a ridiculous amount of money. And the courts do not behave constitutionally. They're not ruling constitutionally. They're not acting constitutionally. I mean, look at the Constitution. And so for the most part, we lose and we spend an enormous amount of money to lose in the courts. And so I said, okay, well, we have political recourse. Absolutely. And I wholeheartedly believe, Rob, that we are going to sweep the election in the next couple of years from school board to Congress, as even several of our moms are running and have already won primaries in several states. So they are fighting back in whatever way that they can. And I believe there will be a sweeping change with constitutional common sense candidates filling these seats. But that's 6 months down the road before we even have, you know, an election of any kind. So we have to find the candidates. We have to run them. They have to win. Our kids are going to school right now. And so we have to have something to do right now. And so this week we launched a parent strike. When teachers are upset that the things aren't going the way they want, they strike, and it's very effective. And they make the list of demands. So I'm like, okay, if your school board is ignoring, if you want something to do right now, then strike. We need to have a national parent strike. And I'm encouraging parents, if you strike, call the school the first day of school and you let them know, I entrusted my children to you and you broke that trust. Until that trust is restored and our demands are met, we are keeping our children home. And we have put up a website, parentsstrike.com. And on that site, we have 4 simple steps where you can take your children home legally, safely, and have multiple opportunities to continue their education and a better education while you're striking. And so if they go there, they can get all of the information. And I'm telling you, this starts every time a first day of school starts in a state, in a community across the country, it's like ripples, and it will take effect. And as it starts to gain national attention, then that's a movement that people will listen to. We're taking their money away. Our children are money to them. When they check that box, that's why they do the whole attendance thing and make such a big deal about being in the room where you where you get the attendance because they want to count you. That's their money. So when they don't attend, whether it's in person or virtually, then they are not counted, which means they're not getting their the money for our children. That is powerful. Do it with the pocketbook. Do a parent strike. And then across the country, we will start to be heard. Not only that, but you'll realize the incredible opportunities that are available to you and the great education that your children can get by taking control of your education. I want parents to understand this idea of homeschool. When people say, well, I can't bring them home because I can't homeschool. We both work or I don't feel qualified. Okay, first of all, and there's nobody more qualified than you to teach your children. Secondly, when you look at the public school system and you say I can't homeschool, it's because you're looking at what happens in public school and you're thinking that you have to duplicate it in your home. Why would you duplicate a failed system? We're not talking about that. What we're saying is when you bring your children home, you are taking back control for the educational decisions for your children's lives, their health, their well-being, their education. That is our right, our responsibility, divine, inherent, given from God. And so we need to take back control of that. And there's so many ways that you can do it. We have churches opening up across the country where parents can gather and do a homeschool co-op, parent share co-ops, mini schools. We have parents gathering together and hiring tutors for their children. There are so many ways that you can do it. And there are plenty of moms out there who've been doing this for years who are more than happy to wrap their arms around you and help and support you.
And I think what you said is really important, is that parents think that they need to replicate what's being taught in the public school systems, which is failed teachings, and they don't need to do it. They become overwhelmed thinking, well, I've got to have this class and I've got to do this assignment, this subject. But if they go out and just do the research, like you said, and then reach out to other parents that are doing it, because parents have been doing this for quite some time. And we see now that the public schools have failed our kids miserably. They're teaching them everything except for the basics.
So I want to give everybody some good news, because there is some good news out there. And this mom-led revolution is having some serious impact. And everything that we're pushing against, the first thing I want people to understand, it is all the same thing. From what is happening in Afghanistan to what is happening in our school districts, it's all the same thing. It is all about destroying what God created. It is attacking freedom. And now people, freedom courses through our veins, especially us, we in America. It's just we're used to it. We want it. We're going to keep it. And so when the more the freedom is taken away from us or trying to be taken away from us, the more we're going to fight back. So Nikki, one of our moms in Florida, she's a nurse practitioner. And a couple of weeks ago, she was given everybody in her clinic. And this is a big clinic. It's like a mini hospital, 5,000 employees in this clinic. And they were all sent a notification that they were going to be required to have the shot by November 1st, or they were going to be fired. And then they were told you could submit a religious exemption. But if you do, you will have to be tested every week and you will have to wear a different colored badge so everybody knows that you're not vaccinated. And I was like, okay, let's just put the Star of David on our shoulders and our arms and, round everybody up and put them in the train to Auschwitz. I mean, this is insane. People who know history know what's happening and they're fighting against it. So here's what just one mom did. So she called me and she told me what was going on. And she said, we're going to launch a rally. And she and her friend, who's also a nurse practitioner, another one of our moms, they said, we're going to launch this big rally. So they did a couple weeks ago, they held it in Florida. And what was interesting is while they were doing their preparing their rally, one of the doctors who brings in the most money at this clinic and the most popular doctor at the clinic, he is opposed to the shot. And so his wife printed a whole bunch of flyers that said, what are you going to do on November 1st when 1,000 of your medical professionals don't show up? And she put it on every car in the parking lot. And this was like a day before the rally. So then the rally happens and we call our PR team and we, get a press release out and push it out in the media. So Nikki and Lindsay, the two moms down there, they're all over the media talking about this. And this was all on a Friday. on the following Tuesday, the clinic issued a letter, an update to everybody saying, well, it's your choice if you get the shot. So it does make a difference. When you apply the right amount of pressure, respectfully, powerfully, standing strong and courageous on the truth, it does have an impact. And I'm seeing this happening across the country where moms are gathering. And that's the most important thing I can tell moms. And parents, husbands, you know, we've got to stand together. Our husbands, our sons, our daughters, the whole family, stand together for these principles. Teach them in our home, stand for them in the community. When we gather together in a community, you will be surprised at how many people agree with you. And if just one person takes the lead and says, well, let's do a rally, or let's send out a flyer and post it on the cars. Can you imagine at a school board meeting if you put a flyer together and put it on all of the cars? Keep going to the school board meetings, wear those branded t-shirts, print flyers, pass them out, go to the media, write op-eds. All of those things matter, and they are making a difference.
Kimberly, I want to go back to this parent strike. There's probably so many parents listening to this that want to get involved, that are sick of what the school system is doing to their children, making them wear masks all day long. Now they're pushing for this children to be vaccinated. I'm sure you can go to momsforamerica.us and get all the great info. But if someone's listening to that and they want to get involved with the parent strike, what is the most effective way for them to do so?
The first thing is to get t-shirts. I know that sounds crazy, and you don't have to get them from us. You can go print your own. We have several different options on our website. One of the big popular ones, two of the most popular ones, is My Child, My Choice, and I Refuse to Co-Parent with the Government. We have bumper stickers that you can put on your car. I know that sounds like a simple little thing. Why would we do that? It's powerful. When you start to see this message on cars, when you start to see it on t-shirts, when you show up at school boards and you see this, that's powerful. The first thing that you want to do is have some kind of branding, whether it's a sign, a shirt, whatever, because you need to be ready to rally, because you're going to need to. Then you, whatever the first day of school is, if your school has already started, you can still do this. You can go to the school and you can remove your child after they've already gone. If they're at school, you go in, you sign them out at the office, and you let them know why. I would write just a small little letter or statement. We have samples that we're posting up on our website that you can download and make your own, that you can submit to the school board. You can submit to the principal, and you need to let the school know. Don't just pull your children out. Let them know why. And this is the best statement ever. We entrusted our children to you. You have broken the trust. Until it is restored, our children are unsafe. Their physical, mental, and emotional well-being is at risk, and we are not going to put them in a system where they are at risk. It is our responsibility to protect them. Making that statement when you pull your children out is the most important thing. So I go to parentstrike.com. That is the place where it'll tell you exactly what we're doing. There's even a video on there, 2-minute video, that explains what we're doing, why we're doing it, why we're encouraging parents to do this. Some school districts, it's the mask mandate. They've been able to push that back, but this is bigger than that. As Rob was talking about, you know, you've got critical race theory, you've got comprehensive sex education. You're there pulling the pronouns of mother, father, anything that is male or female or family oriented. They're pulling out of textbooks, they're pulling out of curriculum. Parents need to know this. This mask mandate has actually opened the door for parents to see what else is going on in the school system. So to get involved, I would first go to parentstrike.com and find out how to safely pull your children out. The first thing you need to do to safely pull your children out is sign up for HSLDA. It's $125 a year. It is the best $125 you will spend. Homeschool Legal Defense Association. It is in a complete legal team that you have at your disposal if the government tries to come after you. And the teachers unions will try. They'll go after the school districts. They'll encourage the school districts to fight back and file complaints for truancy or whatever. You sign up for HSLDA, you have a legal team. Second thing is you want to go to HSLDA. We have a link on parentstrike.com where it tells you what the rules are, the homeschool laws are in your state. sign up as a homeschool family. Even if you're not planning on homeschooling, even if this is just a short-term thing, it'll keep you safe, because if you have registered as a homeschooler, they cannot touch you. Number three, go to, we have a great website. I'm on the board, advisory board of Public School Exit. If you go to Public School Exit, at the top menu bar, it says Education Options, I think is what it says. Click on there, and it has all kinds of resources on how you can continue to teach your children while you have them home. And then, and number four is unite with families where you are. Unite with other parents, unite with other families, because that is where strength is. And if we unite together in the community, then we will be surprised at what resources we already have in our own backyards.
Yeah, well said. We are here with Kimberly Fletcher from momsforamerica.us, and you are tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more from Kimberly Fletcher on After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
And we're back after dark with Rob and Andrew. And our guest is Kimberly Fletcher, Moms of America. If you've been sleeping under a rock, then you need to wake up. And as we were saying in our first half, this just didn't happen overnight. Although some people feel as if though it did. Some people think that, well, when Joe Biden came in, things just changed. No, it has actually been in the works for a very long time. It's just that now they have key players on the stage that's allowing them to push their agenda, to push it through, to steamroll over everyone else, all of the other voices that are saying, wait a minute, I don't like this. They can steamroll over on you. And if you do protest, they have a way of counseling you by saying that you're racist. You don't want other people to advance. So hearing those words, what do? You retreat and you're silent, especially as parents, because the fear is if I speak up and if I say something, my kid could lose friends. No one will play with my kid on the playground. My kid won't get invited to birthday parties. My kid won't get invited to sleepovers. You know, some would say, yeah, but you know, we're with COVID-19 and people aren't doing that as much. People are doing it. And if you're one of those individuals who's standing out as a sore thumb, as they would like to describe you as being, there could be repercussions. And that in itself could affect your child. But that being said, we have to stand up. We have to raise our hands. And if you're a Christian, a lover of Christ, a follower of Jesus, that I'm sure that there are families within your community and your church that you could go to and talk to and allow your children to play with. So there are other outlets, though on the onset, the woke community would like you to think that there aren't any and that you are the minority and they're the majority. But don't give up hope. We can never give up. And as Kimberly said from the beginning of the show, She feels that there is hope. She knows that there's hope. And the hope is what will sustain us and help us fight this battle. Because as we ended the last segment, we were saying the whole thing with the pronouns, attacking the pronouns, it's just not that. Some would think of it and say, well, that's so small. Maybe we could give them that. No, it's more than just that. In essence, what they're trying to do is to tear apart the family. They're trying to deconstruct it and say, this is not what a family consists of. Now, of course, we all know and realize that a family could be a mom and a dad or just a mom. But their idea is that none of that matters. There are no moms. There are no dads. There are just people. There are just its that are there. And that we just all come together at different parts of the day and do whatever we got to do. And then we retreat. That's what they want. Because they are actually the minority, making up 2% of the population, if that. But their voices are so loud and so strong. And their voices are heard throughout every element of life. They are there pushing their agenda. And we've been made to be silent, but we can no longer be silent. We've got to take the tools that we have, come together, and push back. Because a family that prays together stays together. I know someone would say, oh, we've heard that. There's always going to be signs, but it is so true. And we see it today. We have got to keep our families together. We have got to uplift our families. We have got to uplift that institution. Because for some, they don't like it. How in the heck are you going to have the person who's over the CDC talking about birthing people? Our Congresswoman, Cori Bush, birthing people. The person who's over Health and Human Services, transgender or something, she's talking about birthing people. They're trying to change the literature to say birthing people. We don't want to say moms and dads. But what about those families that do have moms and dads? What are they supposed to say? Well, you can't say mom and dad. Just say the parent or that person. This has gone too far. And it is time that we be heard by standing up and getting involved in these different groups like National Parent Strikes and letting these schools know we're not going to take it. We don't need the government to raise our children or to co-parent. So that whole concept that Hillary Clinton came out with, it takes a village to raise a family. Well, it sounds cute. It sounds nice. And some would say, oh, well, when I was growing up, you know, if I did something wrong, the entire neighborhood, the mothers in the neighborhoods and the fathers and the grandfathers, they would get onto us right there. Then when we would go home, our parents would get onto us. Well, that was then. But the idea now of a village raising the kid, what they're actually trying to say is you stand back and we will do it. And we will give them the values that we want to give them. I said this during the first segment, be forever watchful. And you got to push back and say, nope, these are not my values. These are not the values that I want my kid to be raised with. And if I have to take my child out of the school, I will do it. And when we do it, we should also push back and say, I demand to have my taxpayer dollars. When they shut the school system down, leaving parents in a lurch, you got to do it our way or it's the highway. They should have immediately said, we're going to give you back your taxpaying dollars. But did they? Absolutely not. They kept that money. And what did they do with the money? Because if they kept it, you would think they would have outfitted the schools with safety measures so that kids can go back to school, putting up partitions, glass partitions or plastic partitions so the kids could see the teachers so that they could take off the repressive mask. But they didn't want that. They wanted to keep your money and to continue to fund the Teachers of Federation so that the teachers could keep pushing their agenda. They don't care about our children. No, there are some teachers who do. But then there are others that have an agenda that they want to get across. So this whole thing, what will we want to teach our kids STEM? Anything but that. Because when you're going to school and the kids are learning more about social activities and social experiments, they are not teaching the basics. They want you to think that. They might introduce it during the morning meetings, but after that, everything else is downhill. And then the drag queen hour, reading to our kids, what is the purpose? Why can't you just have a regular person, a normal person? Then someone would say, yeah, but what is normal? Well, drag queens reading to kids is not normal. There is normal and there's abnormal. Don't get it twisted. Don't allow them to tell you that there is no such thing as normal. And what you see as being normal is not normal for someone else. Wrong. That's what they want you to think. They want to challenge you on it and make you afraid to push back. I don't want to see drag queens at the school reading to my kids. If they want to do that, they can go to their clubs. Why are they coming to the schools reading? Well, we were trying to teach the kids acceptance. No, you're not. You have an agenda. Because the same way you can have a drag queen, you can have someone's grandma or grandfather. When I was in school, they would reach out to the older people in the community and say, if you want to come and read a book, and now you can't do it. No, we don't want anyone coming. But if you look down the hall, you'll see someone all made up, flamboyantly, getting ready to read Drag Queen Hour, even at the public library. Don't close your eyes. Don't snooze. Because you will surely lose. These are our prized possessions. We're responsible for them. They have been given to us by God. And we need to bring up the child the way the child should go, and not all this other secular stuff that has nothing to do with anything but confuse the minds. And that's it. We have to be forever watchful. So Kimberly, those parents who are out there and find themselves alone, at wit's end, not knowing where to go. And I know you're saying that, you know, they can go online and they could tap into all these different services and to tap into these different groups. But there's always the parent who's shy, who wants to be a part of the group. What words of encouragement would you say to those parents?
I want to give them some really, a really simple thing that they can do. I earlier mentioned branding power, but I just want to, let's think about the optics of branding power. Okay. We saw the branding power when a bunch of pink-hatted women descended on the Capitol to throw their middle finger up at the duly elected president of the United States. And people recognized what they stood for. And that was the first deer in headlights moment, I think big deer in headlights moment that parents had, when moms looked and realized that they'd see those women who are behaving that way on Monday, and they're teaching their children on Tuesday. And that was the first sign of, okay, this is really close. What are we going to do? And for the last 4 years, it's been getting closer and closer and more intense. There is, during the, you know, right up to the election, when we were being shut out, all of our voices were being shut out everywhere, something remarkable happened. Some person said, let's do a Trump rally. Let's do a car rally. Let's do a boat rally. And they had these car parades and these boat parades, and they were doing them all over the country. And then they were doing, they would film it on TikTok, and then it would be posting all over these social media sites, and you couldn't keep it out. They tried, though, people trying to destroy our country. They tried really hard to vilify the president, to make us not exist, but we pushed back. One person just said, let's just do a car rally, put a Trump flag on our MAGA flag on our car and our boat, and just be out there. So the branding power of that was powerful. We need to get past the whole one guy thing. Okay. There's President Trump is not going to save us. No one is coming to save us. We have to save ourselves. And if you're shy and you're like, I just want to step back and not, but I want to be a part of it. I just don't want my people at my front door yelling and screaming at me. I still, to this day, will get postcards periodically calling us moms for Hitler and all kinds of things. I got the most horrible, horrible message on my Facebook account yesterday, just going after me because I am the reason why people are dying. Me standing out there saying that we shouldn't wear masks. And I never said we shouldn't wear masks. It's not about that. It's about freedom. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't, don't. There is no government authority that can mandate that we wear a mask or put something in our bodies. They can't. They have no authority to do so. Our constitutionally protected rights protect us against that kind of government. The Constitution binds them down, as Thomas Jefferson said. That's something that the American people don't know, but they want to know, and they want to unite together, and they want to feel like they're not alone. So another powerful branding is Red for Ed. Feminists show up at these school board meetings all the time. We're not there, but they are. And they show up in red, whether it's red t-shirts or just red shirts, red hats, whatever. They show up in red, red for Ed. And it's never for our kids. It's never for America. It's always these crazy things that you've mentioned that we know are going on. That's what they're pushing and promoting. So our official color at Moms for America is a deep lavender. We chose lavender because of what it stands for. It stands for purity, love, devotion. It's everything that's the best of women. And it's purple is the color of royalty. And we're all daughters of God. And it is red, white, and blue blended together. So it is a color that unites us and that represents the best in us. So I don't know who started, somebody else, like four or five different people started this at one time, purple for parents. You don't have to go buy a specific purple t-shirt. You can just wear a purple shirt, wear a purple jacket, whatever. Start wearing these things to these meetings, to city council meetings, to school board meetings. When there's a rally, wear purple. When purple starts to flood across the country, it's something simple. Even if you're shy, even if you don't want to, be out there in the front, you put on that purple shirt and that means something. And that unites us together. And then people start to see, oh my goodness, the silent majority are waking up. You don't have to speak at a school board meeting. You don't have to stand up and be in the front of anything. You just show up at any of these opportunities that are available to you, whether it's a rally, a school board meeting, city council meeting, whatever, and you show up in purple and it will start to resonate across this country and they will see we're coming. That is a powerful thing they can do. Very simple. You don't have to be out there in the front lines, but you're having a powerful message.
One of the things that we love about Moms for America is they don't just talk it, they walk it. They are very busy all over the scene. They came to fame a few years back. Everyone remembers the whole Kavanaugh Blasey fraud situation. Moms for America was all over the TV and the news sticking up for Justice Kavanaugh in that unfortunate situation. Kimberly, what is in store for Moms for America next? Do you guys have any plans to run any big events or show up for anything?
Yes, we do. So with all the moms across the country asking us to come, I mean, gosh, you guys, we've been inundated with moms, all 50 states. Please come help us set up Mom Links groups. Give us the tools and resources and support we need to fight these battles in our communities and our school boards. And we want to be able to be there. So we're doing virtual things to help them. We're going out in person as much as we can, but to reach more moms, what we're doing is we're holding a Mom Rise conference October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Orlando, Florida. So it's a great, family destination. Come early, stay late, but come. And we have incredible speakers, breakout sessions. These moms who come, I promise they will get informed, they will be encouraged, and they will leave empowered. And what's great about this is when they go home with all this, inspiration, encouragement, and empowerment, they're going to share it with the moms in their own states and communities, and that will take root. So we're able to reach more moms by holding this event. We're also going to be live streaming portions of it. So we have set up a website for that at momrise.org. Glee Greenwood is going to be kicking off the event. He and General Flynn at our Friday night event. We have incredible speakers, including Pam Tebow, Tim Tebow's mom. I can't say enough about this. And I'm so excited about this event. And we touch the heart. So we go to the heart. And it's what the other side does all the time. The side that's trying to destroy America, they make it all about emotion, but can't back anything up. On our side, we're just always right. We go into the room and we're like, well, we're right. Well, how's that working for us? So we need to go to the heart. We need to touch the heart, use what they use effectively in going to the emotion. But what we have that they don't have is we can back it up with facts. And when you touch the heart, the mind opens and then it will listen. That's how you change hearts and minds. So that is what this conference is all about, empowering moms with the tools they need to be effective where they are and encouraging them by uniting together in this spirit of sisterhood that once thrived in our country. So we encourage moms to come, and we've had a lot of men asking, are we allowed to come? Okay, so here's the thing. You can come with your wife, but you can't come alone. This is all about the moms.
Makes sense. No, and as you said, there's strength in numbers. And for those moms who are out there feeling as if though, they're at wit's end and they don't know what to do, here you hear coming from Kimberly Fletcher, and she's telling you how you can organize. And it's just a simple act, simple things that you could do, speaking to someone. We had someone on the show the other day, his name was Michael Tremogli, and he was talking about schools and how they're trying to change our kids. And one of the things he said also is that, you know, speak to your neighbor, just small conversations, fill them out, and you would be surprised that some of these individuals are thinking the same things that you're thinking. And it's not just conservatives. There are a lot of liberals out there, believe it or not, that are sitting back and they're looking at this and they're saying, man, I didn't buy into this. I didn't want this to happen. Yeah, I might be liberal, but what you're trying to teach your kids, what you're trying to take them through, I'm against that. I mean, you look at what's happening right now in our society. You look at Afghanistan. And the women, what's happening to the women and the children? Where are the feminists? Why aren't they standing out? Why hasn't Kamala Harris come out and said, women, we're behind you? Now, any other times you're telling women that there's a war on women and that it's the men and it's the white man. And he's trying to suppress them and he's trying to tell them what to do with their bodies. But for Afghanistan, oh, don't say anything. We had on our show the other day, Colonel Julie Hall, and she was angry as to what is happening. That we, this country, the women here, went out, told those women, this is what you should do. And you should be able to do this, and you should be able to do that. And they did it. And now, at that critical moment, when they need the support, no, I'm not saying that the women here, the feminists can run, you know, fly reconnaissance airplanes there to get these women and to help them. But to stand up and say, we are behind you. We support you. But they're not here. They're not there. We don't see them. It's quiet as it's kept. But you know what, Andrew? You know what, Kimberly? As soon as those women get here, the feminists will be up in their face, front and center, telling them about their rights. And you don't, you can have an abortion if you want to. And you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. And you don't have to dress this way. And you can take this off and you can take that off. Really? When they really need you, where are you? Nowhere to be found. But as soon as they come here, like vultures, you're waiting to give them their American Bill of Rights. These are the things that the American women do, the Western women. Shame on you all. And that's the way it is all the time. These feminist groups that want to stand out and create havoc in our school systems, in our government, and everywhere else. When it's really time for them to do something, nowhere to be found. Shame, shame, shame. Kimberly, what are your thoughts on the Afghanistanian crisis?
You really hit the nail on the head when you talked about the feminists. There was a famous case out in California several years ago where a woman was killed by her husband. She was 8 months pregnant. And the courts were trying it as a double homicide. And this was a perfect opportunity for the feminists to come out and say, you know, this is not how you treat women and their whole don't mess with, you know, women and abuse and everything. And they did. They came out. They came to the courthouse and they were had their signs and everything. But it wasn't for the mom. They were angry because they were trying it as a double murder. And that baby, you know, that's not a person.
Oh, my gosh.
So they are, they're not for women. They're for an agenda. They are a communist Marxist group. It didn't start out that way, but they have been infiltrated like many of the groups across the country. The Marxists and the communists were very good about pinpointing the movements and how they could infiltrate them and bring them to their way. As far as in a big picture, what's going on in Afghanistan, my husband spent 28 years in the military, 2 years in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we were separated for long periods of time, and our family made major sacrifices to support the freedom of our country and support the freedom in those other countries. And it just makes you want to sit back and say, what did we do it for? What did we sacrifice for? And that's been the thing that's been just paining me. Those people, I mean, they're talking about how we need to get all these Afghan refugees. We need to let all these Afghan refugees into our country, but we can't get our own people out. And how do we know who those Afghan refugees are? And based on who's coming across the border on the southern border, I don't have any confidence whatsoever in the government to manage anything like that. I'm sorry, people, we just need to close our borders all across them. Every single border we have, close it down, bring our own people back, and let's get our house in order before we start bringing other people in here. There's something else I wanna bring up, because you made a very good point. The fact that this is across the board, whether you're, no matter what political party you are, what your background is, people across the country of all persuasions are not happy with what's going on. It's not even just unhappy. They are freaked out by what's going on. This is not what we intended. If we can reach out to our neighbors, just like you said, we need to know who our neighbors are. We need to form those relationships. What good does it do to have, you know, nameless faces as friends on a social media site when you don't even know who lives next door? Because those are the people who are going to turn you in, just like they did in Germany under Hitler. But there's I was having a conversation this past week with a woman, and when we were launching our parent strike, we had several media come, and one of the women from one of the liberal leaning news stations wanted to speak with me. And she was just kept hammering this idea of why are we pushing this? Why can't we just wear the mask? What is the big deal? And I said, it's not about the mask. It's not about the vaccine. It's not about any, it is about freedom to choose. And then I looked at her and I said, do you want me to tell you that you are not allowed to wear that mask, to mandate that you don't wear a mask? Do you want your boss to fire you because you got the vaccine? And then she just kind of looked at me like it clicked. And I said, you see, it's about freedom. The most of the people in this country are not deceivers. They are deceived. And if we treat them as our enemies, then they will become our enemies. They are largely our friends. And it's the same thing I tell mom, stop looking at teachers and school board members as if they're your enemies until you recognize whether or not they're your friends. We need to know that. And yes, there are some enemies that are purposely hurting our children, not just deceived, but deceivers. They are, I don't know where this evilness comes from in their hearts, but they are. But the most of the teachers in this country, and I wouldn't say most of the school board members, but a good portion of them are opposed to this. And if they had the truth given to them and common sense countering what the school board association or the teachers unions have been shoving down their throats, they would come to recognize that we are right, that this is about freedom. This is about the safety, health, and protection of our children, of the people in our community. If you really are about the children, if you really are about the schools, then there has to be some common sense and measured decisions here when it comes to how much money you're spending, where you're spending it, what policies you're imposing on the school district. All of those things are important. And if we can unite together as teachers, as parents, as school board members, and like Nikki in medical professions, moms across this country, you are in positions, you are teachers, you are sitting on the school board, you are in medical positions. It is the moms, nothing against the dads and the men, because oh my gosh, we need to be working together. But there is a power when moms unite together, because they don't usually do that. And when moms unite together and stand up and say no, it's like an echo that goes across the country and people start to recognize it. That's why they recognize the pink-headed women in Washington, D.C. And they thought that that represented us, and it does not. So those of us who are not represented by this feminist craziness that's not standing with those women in Afghanistan when they absolutely should be, then we need to stand up, put on our purple, and start being everywhere, standing up for what we know to be right and true.
Well said, Kimberly Fletcher, momsforamerica.us. Make sure you guys go and check out the website and get involved any way you can. We thank Kimberly for joining us tonight. Such a great time speaking with her. I want to take this opportunity to tell you guys about Healthy Cell. If you're looking for better sleep, focus, and energy, check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. Rob and I did, and we are so happy we tried Healthy Cell. Healthy Cell vitamins work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Absorb a healthier lifestyle with Healthy Cell's pill-free vitamins. Comes in a gel pack that tastes great. If you don't like pills, it's perfect for you. Go to healthycell.com and check out the great products, and you can save 20% off with the code OUTLOUD. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who's recently celebrated its 5th anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We will see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.